Good morning, everybody. Welcome to week two of Church Online All the Time. We have been self-quarantining this week, so I am staying far away from everybody here today while we are filming this. But thank you so much for being with us. I have established a home office in my garage. Some friends have affectionately referred to it as a bunker. So I thought I'd show you my home office. I don't know what yours looks like, but here's mine. You can see that my wife is very organized. I have storage bins. I have my son's pants from VMI on the drying rack, cup of coffee. Anyway, we're all just making do the best we can, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. As we get going with the message today, I want to ask you to do something for me, if you would. If you have a paper Bible at home, if you're watching this and you have a paper Bible, would you go find your paper Bible? I want to invite you today to grab it and to follow along. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5 a little bit later, and I think there's something to paper Bibles in our technological world, and because many of us are at home, we can do that. And then the other thing I want you to know is that in the message today, at the end of the message today, I have a special encouragement for dads. I have a special encouragement for dads after the message is over. So dads, if you want to stick around for just 2 or 3 minutes at the end of the message, that would be great. Well, here's how we're getting going today, and here's how I want to talk about our message for today. It's this idea: how we frame our life determines the questions we ask. How we frame our life determines the questions we ask. See, we all have a perspective on COVID-19. We all have a perspective on what we're going through. And our perspective will drive our questions, and then our questions reinforce our perspective. And so I want to talk about a few of the questions that we are tempted to ask in these difficult times. Maybe this week you found yourself asking this question: why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? This is a question that we are all tempted to ask in our life from time to time. And I want to encourage us to maybe consider dropping this question from the repertoire, because there are a few things this question does that we might not realize, The first thing is this: the question why is almost never answered with an answer that is emotionally satisfying. When you and I face difficulties in life and we begin to ask the question why, which it's a natural question to ask, I ask it, you ask it, we just have to recognize that it almost never leads anywhere helpful. It's a danger of asking the question why. And even more dangerous is when we attach the word me to the end of it. Why is this happening to me? Because when I ask it about myself, what I am assuming, and again, this is all subconscious, but what I'm assuming is that my suffering is unique in the world. This question leads me to believe that what is happening to me is different than what is happening to you. And then I am isolated from the community. When in reality, pretty much all the time in life, there are people suffering in the same way that you are, in the same way that I am. And just remembering that can help me in my perspective. So I want to encourage you to consider a different question other than why is this happening to me? Another question we might tackle from time to time is this question: what did I do to deserve this? Oh, this question is so dangerous. What did I do to deserve this? When I ask the question, what did I do to deserve this, I am immediately forced to go down one of two tracks. Either I think to myself, what did I do to deserve this? I'm so stupid. And you're not. And you're not. What did I do to deserve this? It must be because I was so dumb. And you're not. That's why it's not a helpful question. Or, what did I do to deserve this? I'm either dumb or I'm a victim. And now I'm powerless. And now it's happening to me. And I want you to know today that there is a way to look at life. There is a way to look at all that is happening in COVID-19 that is so much bigger than you feeling bad about yourself or like there's nothing you can do. See, the thing that these questions all have in common is this. When we ask the why questions, the why do I deserve this question, what happens is that we are framing our life with us at the center. I'm making myself really big in the frame when I'm asking the question, What did I do to deserve this? Why is this happening to me? And the bigger I am, hear this, and just think about this, and you think about it throughout the week. The bigger I am, the more responsible I am for any hope that I might find in life. And so let's just say you're a Christian, and I'm not going to assume you're a Christian. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus. You're just tuning in. I'm glad you're here with me. You can apply this to your own life in your own way. But if you are a Christian, you've got God up here at the top. You got Jesus sort of in the corner, and you're really big. You can only get hope from you. And here's what I know. When a tragedy happens, when suffering happens, when a world pandemic happens, you and I need a place to find hope that is bigger than ourselves. So I want to ask you this question. How can I reframe COVID-19? How can you and I reframe COVID-19? Because what I want for you and what I want for me is the ability to find a hope that can sustain me now and into the future. I want us to get to bedrock hope. And today we're going to look at this passage in Romans chapter 5 that is familiar and comforting to me and that I hope will bring you encouragement as well. But before we do this, we have to look at how we can reframe our lives. See, here's the start. The start for me as a follower of Jesus is to pray that God would make himself bigger in my life and that I would decrease, that he would increase, that I would decrease. And here's what I want to tell you today. We're all different places, so you can take this on your journey. The bigger that I can allow God to become in my field of view, in my life, both now and into the future, the more he is able to offer me hope. The bigger I am, the more I must depend on my life or my circumstances for hope. And the trouble that many of us face is that so often our circumstances are genuinely encouraging that we don't realize we are hoping in ourselves. But for the sake of argument, if you'll go with me today, let's just pretend that we're able to allow God to be bigger in the frame. God gets bigger, we get smaller. That begins to reshape our questions. It leads us to some new questions. Here's a basic question that you and I should ask. How do I know God likes me? How do you know God likes you? Now, almost nobody asks this question. We all assume that because he's God, he must like everybody. But if you're going to fill the frame of your life with God, you want to know. I want you to know for sure that God likes you. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul tells us how you can know for sure that your Heavenly Father likes you. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this phrase, justified through faith, is really important. And here's what it means. The word justified means forgiven, yes, but it also means counted righteous. It also means that God is for you, means that God is on your side. You are one of his children. All of those ideas are caught up in this little word, justified, this theological word, justified. That God loves you because you are justified through faith. Through faith. Faith in what? Well, if we'd have read in Romans 1, 2, 3, and 4, we would have heard Paul talking about our faith in Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And when I put my faith in Jesus, I'm justified. It's like when I put my faith in Jesus, now I'm on God's team. I'm on his team. And when I'm on his team, then we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, justified through faith, peace with God, all of that is through Jesus. And I want you to know that God likes you. I don't want you to ever have to wonder if your Heavenly Father likes you. If you're at all like me, it is easy to wonder if people like you. That might surprise some of you who know me, but I wonder that all the time. In fact, if someone were to send me a text and say, hey, Eric, do you have some time that we could talk this week? I would immediately assume that I did something to offend them, and they wanted to talk with me about it. When I get a text from a coworker that says, hey, Eric, do you have some time? I immediately start thinking in my mind, what did I do? How did I offend them? I don't know if you wrestle with that as well, but it's so easy to wonder, for me at least, if people like me, if they're for me. Here's the thing, guys. You never have to wonder if your heavenly Father loves you. You never have to wonder. When you put your faith in Jesus, it is your faith in Jesus that guarantees that you have been justified, that you're on God's team, and you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. When God fills your frame, you can know your heavenly Father loves you. Leads us to another question. Another question we have to wrestle with, which is this: how does God affect my life? Okay, so good. So God's big in the frame. God likes me. How's that going to brass tacks help me? How's that going to help me on my self-quarantine or as we're sheltering inside or whatever we're calling it? How's it going to help me when I'm struggling with my kids or in my marriage or with my finances? Yay, God loves me. So what? Good question. Go to verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Through whom, speaking of Jesus, through whom we have gained access by faith, things keep coming back to Jesus and our faith in him, access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now just to stop right there for a minute. This grace in which we stand. We're going to come back to this idea in a couple of weeks. But for today, I just want to point out that when he says that it's grace that we're standing in, that grace is not just forgiveness, though it is forgiveness. This grace is God's empowering presence in your life. This grace is the truth that Christ in you is able to do in you what you cannot do on your own. This grace in you is when you call out to God and you say, God, will you help me? This is the grace we are standing in. It is so much bigger than just being forgiven. It is a whole new way to live life in the presence of God and with the power of God inside of you. This grace in which we stand, and as we stand in grace, as God gets really big, look how hope comes in. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. That's why it matters who's bigger in your frame. See, when I'm really big in my frame, the glory of God is no hope to me. The glory of God is no hope to me. The greatness of God, the sovereignty of God, the majesty of God. But as God gets bigger in my view of life, I'm able to find hope in the gloriousness and the wonder of God. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. I want my hope to be not that I'm smart enough, not that I'll figure it out, not that I'll come up with things. I want my hope to be rooted in the glory of God. And I want that for you as well. And here's the thing about COVID-19. Here's the thing at least I've been seeing in my life. COVID-19 has been exposing where I place my hope. I'll tell you how I saw this past week. On Monday night, I went out to buy food, went to Sam's Club just to see what's going on. And I went to the frozen section, and they had just boxes of this blackened chicken parmesan pasta that my family likes. So I bought some blackened chicken parmesan pasta, threw it in my cart, scanned, went home. And I want to tell you, I was in such a good mood driving home. Because even there was no ground beef and there was no chicken, there was something that I liked to eat in the cart. And I just found myself happy. And in that moment, I realized, practically speaking, there are times when I find more hope in what's in the grocery store than the glory of God. And I let my life and my comfort and my abilities fill the frame of my life, and God gets really small in the corner. And he's inviting us in the midst of this struggle to find a deeper hope. And the reason we have to start faith in Jesus, standing in his grace, hope in the glory of God is what comes next. We have to begin there so we can get to what's next. How does God help me when life is hard? How does God help when life is hard? I'm telling you, if you haven't got the first thing settled, like, okay, I'm saved by grace through faith, justified through my faith in Jesus, standing in the grace of God, at peace with God, hoping in the glory of God. If that's not just at least a category in your life, you don't want God to make that bigger in your life, I'm telling you, what comes next is not going to be good news to you. It's just not. Because the message of the gospel is never that if you put your faith in Jesus, he'll give you the life you want or make your life easy. That's never the message. But instead, he offers us real hope. Because the truth is, none of us get everything we want all the time, ever. COVID-19 just exposes that to us. Look at how he points us to real hope. He says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. What? How can you glory in your sufferings? Well, when your life isn't built on yourself and your comfort, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And what I want for you and for me is hope. But the only way we get the hope that God offers us is if we allow Him to do in us what He wants to do. And it begins with acknowledging that we are suffering. Now, I know it can be tempting to look at others who are suffering worse and to say, oh, my suffering's not that bad compared to people in the hospital, compared to people who are quarantined in refugee camps around the world. I know, but let me just encourage you. In this season with COVID-19, there's not a one of us who is not experiencing suffering and difficulty in some way. It's just true for all of us. The question is, what will I allow God to do in me? And He says, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and at the end of it, we get hope. Hope and suffering are more intimately connected than we think at first. Tim Keller, a pastor in New York City, said it like this, thinking about suffering and hope. Here's what Tim said. We all know that ease does not make us stronger. A person at rest for 6 months is not more ready to run a marathon than a person who has some nagging injuries from training for 6 months. A life of ease does not build a hope worth standing on. We could summarize this passage like this. We do not value perseverance, character, or hope when we are the center of the frame. We do not value perseverance, character, or hope when we are the center of the frame. Think about it like this. When I'm living my life like this, and I got me real big, and God's an afterthought, or God's a side deal, or God's what I do on Sunday, but I'm really all about me, this dude right here, he's not looking for character or perseverance in the midst of suffering. This dude is looking for hope through comfort and ease. And my Heavenly Father comes to me and He says, Eric, the truth is, comfort and ease will not bring you hope any more than sitting on your couch and resting will help you train for a marathon. But I need a miracle. I need God. I need God to show me this. So the questions we ask and the way we talk to ourselves exposes our thinking. Tim Keller has this great quote about sort of a me-centered thinking. When I say, if I can't see any reasons God might have for permitting evil, then He probably doesn't have any. When I say that, when you say that, when I shake my fist at God and say, God, I can't see why You would allow this evil in the world. God, You are not good. When I say that, I have made myself the biggest thing in the frame. And God is really, really small. And so my hope is really, really small. Because my hope is me. Contrast that with this way of thinking, God-centered thinking. If you have a God infinite and powerful enough for you to be angry at for allowing evil, so you are angry that there is evil, I'm angry that there is evil in the world, then you must at the same time have a God infinite enough to have sufficient reasons for allowing that evil. This is not saying that evil is good, evil is evil. This is not saying that suffering is easy, suffering is suffering. Pain is pain. Despair is despair. All of those things are true. Our hope is that God is big enough and grand enough to redeem our suffering, to build in us perseverance and character that leads to hope. And then if I'm going to get angry at God, then may I twist my thinking and turn my thinking to say, oh God, if You're that big, then let me believe that You are working in a way that maybe I can't see. Which leads us to the last verse we're going to talk about today, one of my favorite verses in the entire scriptures. I love this passage from Romans 5:5. He wraps up this little section like this. He says, and hope does not put us to shame. Or earlier translations say disappoint us. Hope does not put us to shame. We'll just pause right there. It doesn't put us to shame. In other words, you're not going to be embarrassed at the end if you put your hope in Jesus. When you put your hope in Jesus, though it may be difficult, though people may laugh, though it may not make sense, hope does not put us to shame. At the end, you won't be embarrassed because your hope will be standing in the one firm thing in the universe, and that is the glory of God. So no, you might be tempted to worry if you're disappointed or embarrassed, but hope does not put us to shame. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom has been given to us. God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It's always a miracle. And so I invite you to pray with me. God, would you pour your love into my heart through the Holy Spirit so that I could have hope? Because in the midst of COVID-19, you and I need a hope that we can stake our lives on. And it's not going to find in me being bigger. It's going to be fine in me being smaller and allowing God to fill the frame of my life. And when he fills the frame of my life, and when I am placing my hope in him and allowing him to fill my heart in this way, I can ask new questions. See, here's the truth. How we frame our life determines the questions we ask. How we frame our life. This is not static. This is dynamic. This is not one time. This is throughout our day. This is moment by moment. Every one of us is tempted to fill the frame of our life with ourselves and squeeze God out of the picture. And every one of us, through faith in Jesus, can battle and say, God, would you become bigger and help me to decrease? And I'm telling you, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to invite you into this hope. I want to invite you into this hope today. Because when we allow God to be as big as he is, we get new questions. I want to give you one new question. I got it from Michael Hyatt years ago. Here's the question. What does this experience make possible? What does COVID-19 and sheltering indoors together make possible? This is a question rooted in hope. This is a question that few would be brave enough to ask if your only hope is found in yourself. But I want to ask it of you today. I want you to be gentle with it. I'm going to ask you because you invited me to. You're here. I would invite you to ask yourself this question, maybe your family, but don't beat people up with it who are suffering. Don't walk into a hospital room and ask this question, but you can keep it in your back pocket, in your mind. What does this make possible? Because if we believe that hope will not put us to shame because God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, we can believe that God is doing something around us and that there are possibilities. In fact, I would encourage you as a family, or with the people you're watching this with, or with your friends in a Twitter, in a text thread, or however you're communicating with people. Maybe you can come up with a list. I dare you to make a list of 20 things that this makes possible. I want to give you one. Here's one thing this experience makes possible. A chance to slow down. In the last weeks and months and years, how many of us have been in a conversation where somebody said, hey, how you doing? And you responded by saying, I'm just so busy. You knew. Busy. Not anymore. I mean, some of you, if you're busy, you're like crazy busy. Healthcare workers, grocery, all these essential services that have ramped up to the, you know, like off the charts busy. And then there's the other extreme. There are those of us who are sheltering indoors, who are minimized. We're working from home when we didn't used to. What does COVID-19 make possible? A chance to slow down. Now, let me just tell you. Many, 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 millions of Americans are going to waste this opportunity. Because if in a chance to slow down, all we do is catch up on Netflix and scroll through Instagram and Facebook and CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and wherever, if all we do is catch up on Hulu and Amazon, if all we do is just amuse ourselves to death, we are missing the chance God has given us. By a chance to slow down, I mean actually slowing down. I mean actually finding peace and pace and pause in your life. My work week is Sunday through Thursday. So Sunday through Thursday is my work week, you know, throughout the year. And then I take Friday and Saturday off. So this week, Thursday night, before I went to bed, I turned off my phone, put it in a drawer, powered down my computer. And I let people know before I did. I said, hey, I'm going to be offline tomorrow. And I did not turn my phone back on or my computer back on until Saturday morning. And you know what I missed? Nothing. Everything was still there to catch up on. I want to give you some freedom. Maybe you need a digital detox. Maybe you need the freedom to be done watching the news. Maybe you need the freedom to have a Netflix pause, to find some time, to read in a devotional book like New Morning Mercies, to choose a plan in the YouVersion app to read. That's why I encourage you to get your paper Bibles. There's something about reading a paper Bible in the morning that allows us to not be as distracted. I've been just putting my phone on airplane mode so I can get my plan from my YouVersion app, but then I open my paper Bible to pause, to slow down. What does this experience make possible? You know, as we look into eternity past, we can think about Jesus. Jesus existed with God the Father and with the Holy Spirit from eternity past. And then 2,000 years ago, the Father sent Jesus into the world and he took on human flesh. He was born as a baby in Bethlehem. And when Jesus left the heavens with his Father and with the Spirit, he left perfect relationship and fellowship and joy and peace. And he entered a world full of brokenness and sin. And Jesus, in his humanity, knows betrayal and knows disappointment and knows brokenness. And ultimately, he knew physical suffering through his crucifixion. And when Jesus was on the cross 2,000 years ago and he cried out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The scriptures tell us that the thing that drove Jesus to the cross was hope. Hope sent Jesus to the cross. And what did Jesus on the cross make possible? What did the cross, that experience, make possible? It made possible the redemption, the salvation of the world. It made possible Jesus declaring himself for all time to be the name above all names. The cross made the experience of his resurrection possible. And the resurrection made possible his ascension into glory. And the fact that Jesus has ascended into glory makes possible the fact that one day he will return and set the world right. But between now and then, you and I have a choice of where to put our hope. Where are you going to put your hope? Where will I place my hope? Now and in the future when things go back to normal. Because right now we feel the weight of putting our hope in Jesus. But oh, may we put our hope in Jesus such that in the future, we know his hope will not disappoint us. It will not put us to shame because he has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So let's let God be really big in the picture frame. And let's put our hope in God. I dare you to ask the question, what does this experience make possible for you? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would help us to experience this week that your hope does not disappoint us. And I pray for every one of us, you would pour your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that you have given us. And we put our faith in you and we ask you to work in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I want to give a quick word to dads real quick. I said that at the beginning of the message. Quick encouragement for dads. This is from a friend of mine. I was talking with a friend last Monday, and he was telling me about what he had done with his kids Sunday before, and it was really inspirational. I was so inspired by my buddy that I wanted to pass that inspiration on to you, because here's what I know, dads. I know that we want to lead our children spiritually, and I know it's really hard. Let me just say, for me, it's really hard. You might think, well, you're the pastor. Shouldn't it be easier for you, Eric? Let me tell you, I'm your pastor. I'm the pastor at Grace Bible Church, but when I go home, I'm just dad and husband. And in many ways, I think being a pastor like works against me, because anything I do like can be connected to my works. So I just want, at least for me, it's hard to lead my family spiritually. And so as we're together more, I want to encourage you in three ways. The first thing is just keep taking initiative. Just keep trying. I'm committed to trying. And I feel like I fail more often than not, but just take initiative, just try. Maybe that means watching the Treasure Cove or Sunshine Island programming on YouTube with your kids instead of letting them watch it and you go somewhere else. Watch it with them. Take advantage of those resources that our ministries give and in Treasure Cove and AMPT if you have middle school kids, or Gravity with high school kids. Let's take initiative. Share what you're learning. Just whatever it is, just try. And I know that I'm going to fail and you're going to fail, but I want to encourage us dads to keep taking initiative. The second thing I want to encourage you is, when you find yourself getting angry as you're leading your family spiritually, that's the time to stop, okay? Right? At some point, you might start getting angry at your family. Somebody's going to get angry at somebody. That's the time to stop. Let's just agree. When family, like spiritual time, family devotions time, whatever, meal time, involves anyone being angry, we'll back out. Third thing is this. And I can't say this enough. Who you are in your personal growing relationship with Jesus is the most important thing in leading your family spiritually. There is nothing more important in leading your family spiritually than finding hope in your own heart for the love that God has poured out through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. So dads, don't waste COVID-19. Don't waste the time to be alone, to read, to confess, to apologize. Don't miss what God wants to do in you for the sake of your family. I love you guys, and look forward to seeing you next week.